All right, guys, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is episode 2 of the Still Loading podcast. It was called It Was All a Dream. We're going to be getting today into the events surrounding the notorious B.I.G.'s passing. He passed away this weekend, as some of you all know, on March 9th. So this episode will be dedicated to his legacy and what he's done for hip hop. But before we do that, we're going to do our disclaimer and just let you guys know what it's all about. All right. So again, we know you guys are like us. You had a busy day today. So we're going to discuss a few topics that men discuss. We're going to talk careers, tech, science, music, relationships, and yes, some sports. Our pod is again for entertainment purposes only. So take what we say with a grain of salt. And of course, that shot of tequila or bourbon. So grab your favorite wine, bourbon, or beer and chill out with the guys. All right. So my man Ace, weekend just ended, man. How was yours?
Man, it was nice, kind of relaxing. Caught a lot of sun, a little too much sun. I watched the UFC fight. Did a little bit of playing in the water, which is fun as well. I didn't have to swim, thank goodness.
Nice.
But other than that, man, just straight chilling. It was a very relaxed weekend. Did a lot of laundry. Folding laundry is probably my favorite thing to do. So, yes, that was my weekend, man.
There's no
Just,
one ever, right? That's dope.
bro, people hate folding laundry, man. I actually love it. So,
That's dope,
whatever.
man. Man, I don't know if mine was as eventful as yours, man. But no, I had a couple of guys over this weekend, man. We had some friends through and played some pool. Where I live has a really nice like recreational area, so had a bunch of them over and we just played some pool, had some good food, man. Got some food from one of my favorite Jamaican spots in the local area, and
Okay.
yeah, man, we had a good time, man. It was pool shark season up in there, man. It was nice. Nice.
Thanks for the invite. I mean, I probably would have been, Shamu if I was there, but
Look, nothing but a 4 or 5 hour flight. You know what I'm saying? Just come over for a
No,
quick
shit, I'll bungee
interview.
jump from the damn plane.
No, that's what's up, man. No, I had a really good time with the guys, man. It came through, and it was just really dope getting a chance to connect with everybody again, and we had some really good laughs. So that was dope, man. Sunday, what did I really do? I didn't really do much. I just went to the gym, and I really got a good workout in. And I keep realizing, man, I'm just not as young as I used to be, bro. Like I'm in there and I'm doing stuff, and yesterday was my chest tries and like shoulders day. And bro, when I tell you I was out of gas by like minute 59, man, I was like, you know what? I think I'm good. I'm heading home, man. So got a great workout
Man.
in. I checked my calorie count. It was great. So I got something to brag about there. I felt really good. I feel sore today, so that means I did something. So I'm happy about that. So yeah, it was a good time there. Yeah, then I
That's
just
good,
came
man.
home
That's
and
good.
made some dinner, bro. So yeah, man. And so much has been going on this weekend. Starting off with what's happening over there in Canada, man. With all this stuff happening, with tariffs. I was watching a clip by David Eby, who is the premier in British Columbia,
Okay.
and he basically went on a tear, man. And he was, they're talking about what they're doing there to kind of respond to the tariffs that's been put in place by the U.S. And what a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of our alcohol, gets shipped to Canada. And so a lot of brands like Jack Daniel's and some other, whiskeys and bourbons are pretty big over there. And so this whole tariff situation has made them pull all that alcohol off the shelves. And in fact, so that, he was asked, how long will this be in effect? And he basically said those products are staying off the shelves until the threat is gone.
That
So
is wild,
yeah.
man.
And then what's interesting too is the fact that he didn't say he was focusing all of America. He said, I'm focusing on the red states. So
Oh, yeah, he has an agenda for sure.
and it makes sense, from his perspective. He's saying basically, you all are enabling this guy to do what he's doing. So you're gonna feel the brunt of what we have to offer. So You know, if the alcohol is made in your state, if the clothes that we're buying are from your state, if the food we're buying is from your state, then you will suffer because of what Trump is doing. And so he basically said, hey, if you represent your state and the people within your own state are complaining and they're talking about, you know, losing their jobs, losing their farms, then you need to push back against your president. And so,
100%.
yeah, I had a lot of respect for that. I have to tell you, like, I'm rooting for Canada in a lot of ways, man.
They got this shit together, man. Like, think
They're a
about
united front.
the electricity surcharge too, man. Yeah, Michigan, New York, that's probably gonna be feeling that. That's wild. I mean, well, they're dropping a lot of tariffs, right? 25%, right? Is that what we talked about earlier?
25%. Yeah, that's right.
And
And what?
$155 billion, bro.
Man, I'll tell you,
That's a lot of cheddar.
it's a lot, man. And you know, it's funny. He was basically like, look, this has told us that we can't be as dependent on the US as we used to be. We used to trust the US as a real partner, but what's happened is literally turned the tables, and he's like, we have to make sure we're never in this position again. So even if things do go back to normal to some extent, they are already figuring out ways to work around us, around the US. And
So,
that's how you treat your allies, you know what I'm saying?
do you think that Canada is just flexing its power, or do you think that the U.S. is pretty much playing itself with these tariffs?
Oh,
What are your
U.S.
thoughts
is
on that?
definitely playing itself, man. I mean, I think Canada is also like, look, we ain't, but you know, we're not bitch, you know, we're not pussy. Like, we are definitely going to show y'all, like, we have some power in this game, you know. And Trump keeps talking about annexing Canada, and it's like, who do you think you are? You're not going to just annex our country. That's not how this works, you know. So, I think that you know, they're flexing their muscle, and they're like, we do have a lot of buy-in on this whole tariff process, and you know, we'll start to feel it. And you know, now they're talking about a possible recession. That was not even a discussion the end of last year. And in just 3 months' time, now we're talking about a recession. It's crazy.
And the crazy thing about these tariffs is saying it's about border security. That's what Canada's, basing it off of, which is insane to me, right? When you're talking about the U.S. and how much they care about the border, mainly down in Mexico, you got Canada was like, "Nah, I'm worried about the U.S. You guys can worry about Mexico. I'm gonna worry about you. Here's a tariff for you."
Yep, exactly. I think, yeah, they said, like, you know, fentanyl was their biggest concern, but fentanyl, I think, was like 1% of fentanyl came out of Canada or something, like some crazy low number. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, this is, you're just trying to prove a point right now, you know, essentially. You know, but that just goes to show, you know, Trump's policies are not really doing what they're supposed to do. We just see that self-destructive effect that's happening right now. Like, I know what was happening with the student loan forgiveness program, right? Like,
Oh my
they get the
God.
law. What happened there?
Well, basically, Trump's just like, "Hey, you know what? That ain't happening. We're gonna take that away." Obviously, this has been happening for quite some time now, where people want their loans to be forgiven and they don't have to pay it back. But Trump's like, "Nah, we're gonna take that away from you. We're not gonna be buying into this student loan, and you guys are gonna be hit with paying that back."
You know what bothers me about that is I know quite a few people that work in public service. You know, they work for the city government, they work for state government, and you know, of course, on the federal level too. And a lot of them work for the government because the government offered them the ability that, hey, if you work for us for 10 years, we will help to erase your student loan debt. You know, we'll basically bring it down to zero, you're paid off. And
That's just
so
crazy.
yeah, it'll be interesting if this does not apply to them. That would be a huge problem for people, because again, that's a commitment that was made to them. Like, there are a lot of people that forego making more money at, you know, private companies and firms because of that promise. They were like, okay, I have 50 grand in student loan debt, or 100 grand in student loan debt. You know, I might suffer right now only making a couple, you know, I mean, like maybe 60, 70 grand. And shout out to whoever's making 60, 70 grand out there. We're not saying that that's a little bit of money. We're just saying that, you know, there are some people who sacrifice making those salaries, right? Making higher, you know, six-figure salaries for doing the same exact thing to work for their, you know, their governments, their local governments, based on that promise. So if that promise is taken away from them, that's a huge disservice, and it's a slap in the face.
Also, think about this, man. It still has to go through congressional approval. So all this is just a juggling act right now until it's all stamped. So I think people need to take a step back. Let's see how it plays. And once it gets that stamp of approval, then start worrying.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, let's be real, the way this Congress is, you know, they have a very, very small majority. It is minuscule at this point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they barely might get the budget passed, you know, to avoid shutdown, which is looking less and less likely. Like, they will literally need every single vote because the Democrats already said they won't support it. So, you know, that congressional approval piece is very important. Like, we see what's happening even with Elon and Marco Rubio, right? Like, you know, that whole cabinet meeting. You know, it just, you can start to see cracks and fissures in the way that they're moving right now. You know, of course, initially everybody was gung-ho. Everybody was smiling in the room when Trump said, did anybody have a problem with Elon? And they all just sat there and laughed, right? But
I mean, you know, Trump is just playing the ref right now. Think about it. UFC just happened over the weekend. And then you got number two over here happening in the White House. It's just wild to me that you got Elon and you got Rubio, who are both obviously, you know, being supported by the president, still going at each other, not wanting to be, you know, step behind the other one. And there's always going to be this one up on the other. And I feel like right now, Rubio doesn't want Elon to have all this power. You know what I'm saying? He's building rockets, trying to change the government. And, you know, not everyone's on board.
Yeah, it's funny you said that. And, you know, Elon basically said that Rubio wasn't making cuts fast enough. He wasn't getting the job done within the State Department. And, you know, the State Department is not one of those departments where you just can get rid of 50% of the people. They literally are soft diplomacy. Like, they are the guys who go out there and you know, build relationships with literally every country on the planet. And make sure that, you know, we have, you know, agreements that make sure that we operate a certain way, you know, and, you know, by getting rid of that many people, you kill not just relationships, you kill bonds, because over time they build bonds with people or correspondents from those countries, you know. So, you know, this whole go in and just slash and burn, you have to know when that is feasible and when it's not. And it's clear that he still just does not get that. I think that alleged Adderall and ketamine is getting to his head, man. So,
I mean, you know what? It's kind of crazy because Rubio has obviously people that he's trying to look after, right? Mm-hmm. And you got Musk, who obviously has the support of the president, which I think that's the reason why he's winning a lot of these fights. Think about it. You know, you and your sibling get in an argument. You know, your mom's favorite is, you know, your sibling, and you're going to lose that battle 9 times out of 10. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when Trump comes into play, what's going to happen? He's going to tell the person that, you know, the child that he likes the least, shut your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Shut your mouth and listen. You know, and because Trump is the one that's playing referee in this thing, he's not going to let anybody take over, you know, what Musk is trying to do. Musk helped him a lot during the presidency, and you can tell that by what's being shown right now. You know, he's standing next to the, you know, next to him while he's having a press conference, and Trump is sitting there with his thumbs up his ass, not knowing what to do. So, I mean, when you think about it, like, how much power does Musk really have? And why is Trump backing him so much?
Right. You know, you can't help. When I know there was, you know, so, you know, Grok, which is X's version of ChatGPT or their AI.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Somebody asked the question, what is the percentage of possibility that Trump is a Russian asset? And they literally said 75%.
Oh, my God.
75% chance that Trump is a Russian asset.
Well, what are they basing that off of? Just everything in total?
Yeah, on the fact that, you know, there has been talk in the past about, you know, his previous travels to different countries, you know, and allegedly engaging in activities that, you know, of course, he wouldn't want anyone in his families to know about. And also not just that, but the fact that, you know, he allegedly brought home all those documents from, you know, out of the White House.
That's right.
And brought them
back
to his home with very little security. So who knows what, if any, you know, people had access to a lot of those.
Slap on the wrist.
Bathrooms. Yep. Like, he literally had boxes of documents in bathrooms. And that, to me, still to this day, we don't really know the full extent of what happened.
I mean, you know, sometimes you got to watch the, you know, watch the news, read documents while you're in a nice bathtub, you know what I'm saying, enjoying a nice Merlot, you know, candle it. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, read a nice paper about what's happening in Muammar or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And what's nuts is that this is Trump's playbook, man. Like, Rubio was following Trump's playbook to the T.
Yeah.
Elon doesn't care. Trump's playbook or not, he's going to do his own thing. That's really what it is, man. I mean,
you can't
make it up.
Yeah, you can tell the power is really getting to this man. I think he's realized, and unfortunately, a lot of the rich, the super uber rich, have realized you have to start buying things. So you look at Amazon, for instance, Jeff Bezos, he went and bought the Washington Post, you know, one of the most trusted, newspapers for literally decades, right? And we saw what happened with the election. He basically barred them against the editorial board against endorsing, like Kamala Harris.
Wild.
That has never been done before. Like, you know, and that happened. And then you have Elon Musk, of course, buying Twitter, right? And and of course, you know, when we're talking about these large media companies, or, you know, where there's a lot of eyes, you can start to mold the messaging to what you wanted to say to benefit you and your friends, you know?
Yep. 1,000%.
You know, and when you just think about that level of power, you know, it just really makes you understand that we have to rein that in. And that's why I'm such a huge proponent now of small businesses. I'm starting to really see the benefit of going back to the small business model. You know, some years ago, I actually wrote a paper about, you know, globalism, and, you know, essentially the effects that it has on economies. And, you know, how building these big box stores like these Amazon centers and Best Buys and Targets and things, it actually reduced the amount of mom and pop shops that we had, mom and pop businesses. I remember, you know, back in the day, we used to drive down the street and everybody had their own business. You know, somebody had a dry cleaner, somebody had a small deli, somebody had a shirt making shop. You look back at these old black and white photos from back in the day and, you know, everybody had their own business, and that was how they made their money.
And you talk about employment rates, small businesses equals American, you know, employees. Mm-hmm. That's going to help out with the job growth. I know that we got, what was that manufacturer that came out of Mexico, and they're now bringing it to the U.S. Was that Toyota?
I think it's Honda.
Honda. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these plays do help the U.S., right? But, like, at what cost? Yeah, think about that, too. Like, what did we give up for that? You know what I mean? Because nothing just gets turned just like that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the big thing, is that this is not a 1-2 year process. This is a 5-10 year span of time that these companies need to build up infrastructure here, find the land that they want to build on, hire the people, train the people, and then get them to start working efficiently. And that is not an easy thing. And not only that, but it will cost us more, because people in this country make more money than people in countries like Mexico. So we have this higher cost that inherently comes with tariffs, and tariffs are always a tax on the buyer. That's what a lot of people just don't understand. And we have to continue to educate people on that.
I agree on that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, it's, you know, and talking about Trump, you know, you think about the fact that so many rappers and entertainers at one point were always talking about how successful Trump was in their raps, and everybody wanted to be like him. And I feel like that did have an effect to some degree. It created an aura of celebrity around him.
Use that word, and it definitely hits. Aura. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, he has this aura around him where people look at him like, you have, like you said in the last pod, like, people call this, you know, or thanking God for this guy. They think God has something to do with him being elected. And it just goes to show, if you put yourself in the face of the people, people like entertainment, people associate you with success, people associate you with money, and it's hard to get that idea out of some people's heads, you know, and you know, you think about rap and hip hop and the impacts that it's had on society, you know, that kind of brings me to the whole subject of Big, because, you know, as we talked about before, you know, Big has had an indelible mark on hip hop. You know, as many of you may or may not know, he passed away on March 9th in 1997.
Wow.
He was only 24 years old.
Bro, what?
Yeah, he was 24 That's... years old, man.
That dude had so much going for him, man.
Yeah, like, you think about the songs that we listened to at that time. Like, for somebody to be doing that type of wordplay, wordsmithing, at 24 years old, 23 years old, 22. I mean, he was saying things in raps that was just like, how does he think of this type of stuff? You know what I mean?
It was just so raw, too, man. Really? It's like, you can close your eyes and feel like you're there.
Literally.
With the things that he's saying. Like, if you have, you don't even have to be, you know, amazing with your imagination. You can have a little imagination and still feel like you're there.
That's a fact, bro. So that actually kind of brings us to, you know, our top five, man. That was one of the things we talked about. We got to do a top five tracks, man. You know, because, you know, this guy has left such a mark. And I know just in my life, you know, I, at that point in time, I was in high school. I was really, you know, listening to this stuff heavy, man, super heavy. And so, yo, go ahead, kick off your list, man. I'll go after.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, I'm not from the East Coast, but I would say he was very influential, you know, when I was younger. I loved listening to his music. You know, the same with Pac, Nas, and many of these other great rappers out there. But Big Papa obviously was a hitter, man. I loved Big Papa. That was just something that you can just, like, you know, feel like you're the king when you listen to it. Like, yeah, I'm gonna be Big Papa, you know. Juicy, laid back song. Love listening to that. Actually, I was listening to that a lot with my mom in the car. I remember we would drive around in the Hummer and she would just start singing that song. Man, I just thought to myself, this is such a beautiful time, just hearing this music, seeing my mom smile, seeing, you know, the world outside, palm trees, you know, warm weather, etc., being in sunny San Diego. It was just such a vibe, man. Juicy was that type of song. Another one, I mean, Gormit's Cali, obviously. Didn't really work out for him when that happened, but, you know, I mean, Going Back to Cali was one of my favorite songs just because I'm from California. Suicidal Thoughts, right? Suicidal Thoughts. It is short, sweet, straight to the point, and real. So freaking real. And the heartbeats at the end, they just go so hard because when I'm hearing it, I don't know if this happens to you or if it has the same effect, but when I'm hearing the heartbeats, I can feel it, like, in my veins. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when you get your blood pressure, you know, checked, and you can feel, like, the thumping in your arm. Like, I can feel that. Yep. And it hits hard. And I was actually listening again today, you know, just reliving in that moment. And I just thought to myself, how real is this song, man? Mm-hmm. But nothing hits harder than Masterclass. I Got a Story to Tell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man.
That one is insane. Bro. Vivid pictures. I mean, the lyrics.
Bro.
It is insane how good he was at storytelling when it came to this song. I've told you before, I love Nas. He's probably one of my favorite rappers. I think his storytelling abilities are probably the best I've ever heard. But listening to I Got a Story to Tell, not going to lie, that hits different.
Bro, I could literally put myself in the house. Like, when he was talking about being with the girl and then the dude walked in.
Yo, I mean, honestly, like there's so many debates, right? There's so many debates about this. Like, you know, hip-hop fans, you know, debated who the NBA player was in this song, right? Like, who was it really?
Yep.
And people started saying that it was, you know, Anthony Mason, right? That's what Fat Joe was claiming who it was, you know. And it's just nuts, man. The speculation on this goes hard, and we will never know now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's true. You know, that's actually, you know, my five is, so I got to start off with I Love the Dough. That's number five with him and Jay-Z.
Okay. Ooh, yep.
Man, that's one of my. I mean, whenever he and Jay got on the track together, man, it was magic, man. So, like, two Brooklyn guys getting to it, talking about getting that money, you know, getting the girls. and just, you know, basically it was like, yo, being broke is not what I'm trying to do. Like, I'm getting to the point, you know what I'm saying? Like, I always thought that was dope. Hypnotized for me, number four. Okay. Hypnotized was crazy, man. You know, just that old school beat to start it off with, that old Herb Alpert, which is the original song, Salute to Herb. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a big-time trumpet player. That's one of the first instruments I learned to play, so I got to always remember that joint. We got Notorious Thugs, of course. That's my number three.
Notorious Thugs, okay.
Yeah, man, you know, Bone and Biggie, you know what I'm saying? It was one of them joints, man, and, you know, just hearing that beat, that was just a hard beat that you didn't really hear. Like, that was so unique at the time, man. It just was, you know, everybody was just bopping on the same one and two. Like, yo, this is crazy right here. What is this? You know what I'm saying? And that song, like, took the world by storm, man. It really did, yo.
And that rapid fire delivery, bro. Rapid fire delivery. I'm telling you, man, it was like, it's nonstop. It hits.
Yep. You had, like, Busy Bone doing this thing. You had, man, those guys were spitting. You know, jeez. I love that.
Yes. Yes.
And then you had, of course, you got Warning, which you, yo, Warning to me was probably one of the illest songs I've ever heard, Joe.
Like, a lot of grit.
Yep. Oh, man. Like, I literally felt like, you ever saw Belly before?
Nah, like, never.
That movie Belly where, you know, my man's in his house. It's almost like Scarface in a way where, you know, it's just one guy in his house and these guys come in and they plotting on him. They've been talking about getting to his money. And he's like, oh, word, they're coming for me. Got you, you know. You want some of this, you know?
Okay. I mean, King Kong ain't got nothing on you then, huh?
Word, you know? He's like, okay, I'm reloaded, you know what I'm saying? It was just always like, that's the type of feeling I got whenever Warning came on, man. He's like, it's going to be a lot of slow singing and flower bringing once my burglar alarm starts ringing, man. You know, I was like, yo, that is so fire, man. And then, of course, like you said, Story to Tell, that's my number one. Like, because, again, it was so vivid, man. Like, the way he was able to tell that story, and you were right there with them and the girl in the room. You know what I mean? And
I mean, Jesus, bro. What's an honorable mention?
Yo, it's funny you say that. So my honorable mention is Juicy. And I'll tell you why I had Juicy as my honorable mention, because I just remember where it put me, man. Like, this is dating me a little bit, but this is like freshman year, eighth grade for me. And I remember like walking my brother to school in the snow with this on my headphones, man, on my headphone. And I'm just like, I remember walking around Clinton Avenue and 15th Street in Newark, New Jersey, man. That's where I'm from, man, you know. And I just remember like walking down the street, there was this popular restaurant called Miss D's. And in the morning, they would be making breakfast. And so I would be smelling like grits and salmon and croquettes and, you know, fried fish. And I'm listening to this as I'm walking, you know, my brother to school. And I'm just like, man, it's really just put me in the mind of like the hustle, getting to the money. And even at that age, just like, man, they were spitting bars. Now, my parents would have been really upset if they knew what I was listening to. That's a whole other story for a different day. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep. Well, yep.
That's my honorable mention. What's yours? Yeah.
My honorable mention has to be, and you're gonna hear it and you're gonna be like, hell yeah, I forgot about that one. Kicking in the Door, bro. Kicking the Door is you don't mess with Biggie, bro. That's right. You know what? You can talk your crap, but when it comes to the run up, nah, you ain't got nothing, bro. Like, he was popping back off against people from the Wu-Tang Clan, you know, basically saying like, you know, we don't tolerate disrespect. You know, keep running your mouth, something's gonna happen, but I run the city. You know what I'm saying? Like,
waving the 4-4. Oh, man.
I'm telling you, man. And just hitting it off was crazy, bro. I mean, DJ Premier did such a great job with freaking the piano looping, you know, the drums, the horns, bro. It's like, man,
he needs to get flowers every day, man. What he's able to do with scratching on them damn tables, man. It's,
yo,
bro, nobody could do it like Prince. Nobody.
I mean, you gotta listen to that. And like, when you're about to go to war, hell yeah, bro, that's what you do, man. Like,
his style with break beats and like just getting that beat to a point where it's like it's about to build into something, man. Nobody does it better now. Nobody,
you can't, bro. And that's like, that's why I think that's an honorable mention. You know, Kicking the Door is something like, you know, you don't want to hear it every single time because that shit, you know, it gets you going. It puts you in a different mood. Like you want to go to war. Hey, you're about to go out to dinner with your girl. You listen to that. Next thing you know, you freaking, you know, growling at her and, you know, eating your food with your bare hands, no forks, no spoons. that you know, like walking like you have a purpose. I mean, obviously, always walk like you have a purpose, but goddamn, you know?
Right. Speaking of kicking in the door, what's going on with Alex Pereira, man?
Oh, my God, bro. His wife, man. She is a wreck. So Alex Pereira obviously lost UFC. You know, it's by decision. He got outplayed. It happens. This guy has been looked at as being one of the best UFC fighters out there. You know, his kicks are insane. You know, he's a presence. Let's be real. But his ex went on social media and she was just giving him a bunch of crap, right? Her name is Christine. She posted a video celebrating Ankalaev's victory over him and saying that that's karma. And it's also noted that she mentioned that, hey, you know what? He lost on International Women's Day. What does that tell you? Now, think about this. They were in a relationship, I think it was like in 2022. They got engaged early 2023. And the reason that it broke off, so, December 2023, Pereira discovered Christine was already married, bro.
What?
Already married during their engagement.
Wow.
He was saying things like, I put her in my house together with my family. After all, I found that she was married. She's out, right? Nah. Her response, she's like, nah, I wasn't married. You know, she was saying that she was already separated, but that, you know, the marriage was never, you know, fully, you know, legally separated, right? But my God, man, it's been so many years, bro, and you still coming at him on social media. Like, he must have done something to you.
I was saying, like, he did something. Like,
yeah, ain't no fury like a what? hell has no fury like a woman scorn, bro.
That's scorn, man. Like a woman scorn. That's right.
My mama will say that all the time, bro. She would say that every time she was about to go to war with my dad. You think I'm joking, bro? She would look at him, and he would look at her. Mind you, my mom's from Georgia, right? She was born in New York, but she's from Georgia.
Southern girl.
Hell yeah. And so she looks at him with that look. And she says that hell has no fury like a woman scorning. The moment he knows, by the way, the moment she said that, she starts launching at him, man. Boom, throwing the chairs, the sink, everything at him, the freaking sofa, whatever. My mom had that superwoman power. And you know what I'm saying? You just never know, bro. I'm telling you.
You know what's crazy? That actually made me think. You ever argue with your girl and you kind of wonder if you should close your eyes when it's time to go to sleep?
Bro, I don't want to close my eyes because they're right there. They're like, what's that dude? They're like Jason, bro. They just show up out of nowhere, right in front of you, standing up, not saying a damn word. That's the scariest part. No, thank you. I'd rather not.
That's right. And what bugs me out the most, what scares me the most is when, you know, you're talking or you're arguing with your girl, you know, you're having a disagreement and she just gets really calm and she says, okay, you got that. Like, you know. Nah. All right, you know, like,
no,
nah, you're too quiet now. You're too quiet.
No, listen, I'd rather have you arguing with me and coming at me because I see what's coming, right? Mm-hmm. But that's if you're right. Quiet, I have to now look behind me, look all around me, look above me, look down below me to see if there's any type of booby traps that you had set into play. On top of that, I have to be the last one to go to sleep. I have to make sure that you're sleeping. So I'm going to put my arms around you. I'm going to cuddle you.
Hold you super tight.
And I'm going to hold you tight. Exactly, bro. Exactly. You're sleeping in the middle of the bed. And my legs are going to be outstretched to the other side of the bed. Don't you play with me, girl.
That's so crazy.
If she can get out of that, I deserve a beating.
Yeah, facts. Facts. I was talking to one of my friends about Al Green. And I'm not sure how much you know about Al Green, but you know, very famous soul singer from the 60s and 70s, and even into the 80s. And you know, he was dealing with a woman, and you know, they weren't even really arguing. But you know, she basically wanted a relationship, and you know, he was like, "Listen, you know, I'm just chilling right now. I'm young. I just really got popping. I'm famous out here. Like, I'm enjoying like this life." He went to sleep. No, he was, I think he was in the shower or something, but she wound up taking a hot bowl of grits, like that was freshly on the stove, and poured it on his back. And literally, it scarred him for life. Like, he was in so much pain.
Wait, physically, mentally, emotionally? Like,
no, physically, because it literally ripped the skin off of his body. You know what I'm saying? And
bro, the grits, like, you eat that. Why are you putting it on his back?
That's how mad she was, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but
no. It
was
cool.
Like, you know, you think about like the whole Lorena Bobbitt situation with the,
oh,
with
my
the husband.
God.
You know, he was sleeping, and she just chopped his
head. I'm sorry, bro. You, ooh, goddamn. I just did a turtle. I just did a turtle just now. That hurt.
And you know, like, yeah, I'm just like, listen, man. And that's why, look, ladies, I love you. I love you. You know, we respect you all. You know, we
1,000%. You're the best.
We are on your side at all times. Okay. I will fight for the ladies. Okay.
Bro.
Girl power.
Girl power. Girl power. We are not playing around. We promise on all of our hearts. Listen, all three hearts. I got two hearts, he has one. I wear my heart on my shoulder. I wear my heart on my sleeve, so I'm good.
You know, it just really made me think about just again how we treat women, and because women have a very long memory. That's one of the things I've realized. And you know, I remember I was
speaking to
one girl one time, and she brought up something from 5 years ago, and I was like, "Do you know how long ago that was?" And but it just goes to show that when you do something, you know, men typically, I typically tend to just overlook stuff. Like, if it wasn't really damaging to me, if it was just something that was small, I get over it. It's water under the bridge, you know?
Yep.
But some women, some of the ladies, they have the brains of elephants, and they will take it to the grave. It doesn't matter if y'all talked about it 10 times, 20 times, it's going to come up again.
I have to argue that a little bit, my brother, because they like to remember all the bad things. Let's be
facts.
like I remember when you didn't take out the trash. Okay, that one time out of the year. Do you remember all the other times that I've taken out the trash? Did I ever get any sort of love, sort of respect? Do I get told 2 months from later that, hey, you know what? I'm really happy you took out that trash. Remember that time? No. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very selective. And it's like you said, you know, they hold on to things, man. Like, you cannot go past it. You have to apologize one way or another. Like, you have to apologize. There's no keeping it and moving on. Men can move on. Absolutely.
And I noticed that we have a very low percentage.
We're okay with that. You know, like, we're like, okay, that worked. Moving on. And they're over there like, oh,
that was too easy.
All messed up. Yeah. Yeah. No, we're going to talk about this, whether it be, you know, 5 minutes from now, whether it be tonight, whether it be during dinner, whether it be when you're about to go to sleep, you're closing eyes, you're putting your head down. And then I say, we got to talk about this.
Oh my God.
And you're going till 4 a.m. when you just started talking at 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. It's you got to apologize. It's apologize right away.
That is the unified man experience. I cannot tell you how many times that happened to me where my eyes are burning and I'm like, why did you wake me up? What are we talking about right now? Like, it's like, this could not wait until tomorrow morning or afternoon. It had to be done now. You know,
surprise.
Surprise,
you know, surprise, motherfucker.
It had to happen when it happened, and it's just okay. All right, let's have it out. Let's get this done.
I've been through that, bro, so many times, and let me tell you right now, I wait, and I'll be like, you know what? I'm about to go to bed, but I'm going to wait, right? Because if she wants to talk to me, she'll talk to me right now. Okay. Ooh, 20 minutes later, put my head down. We need to talk about earlier. Punch to the gut. And I'm like, can we talk about it tomorrow? No, absolutely not. That's and right. If you try to roll over, good luck. You get the shoves. You get the pushing off the bed. Oh, you get the water. You get. I've gotten the water before.
Oh yeah.
You go to the sink, and they pour on you. Are you awake now? Oh my God. So let me tell you right now, it is easier to just apologize.
Yes. Yes.
Just done. Get it done.
There is no pride in the relationship anymore. And it's funny. That's one of the things that, you know, there was this post I sent it to you not too long ago about, you know, there was this guy who was, you know, at all these different stages of his life. And he was talking about all the things that he wouldn't do. Right. So he's a teenager. He's a teenager and he sees his friend get married and he's at a, you know, a party with a bunch of hot girls. He's like, man, I'm never getting married. Right. So this shows him a few years later, now he's married and they hear a crying kid and he's like, we're never having kids. Right. And a few years later, you see him with a minivan and he's got the harness on with the kid in the front and he's and it just made me realize, like, we always
say so real
we won't do. And when you're in a relationship, you wind up doing the exact things you said you would never do.
Yep. That's life, man.
Yeah, it's life, bro. Like, I was always like, yeah, there's some things I thought I would never do. I never forget one of my good friends. This is before we all had kids. And so we were all couples. We were all going out. And, you know, he wound up being the first one of us, no, the second one of us to have a kid. And so at this point, I still didn't have any children. And what he was, I'll never forget, one day I had seen him after he had his kids. He had two daughters. And so he said, yo, come outside. So we go outside and he hits his key fob, the boop, boop. So he boop, boops. And we look and it's a minivan, bro. And he's the door slide back automatically, and the look on his face was like, I did it.
Yo, and you're over there being like, oh, you got that slide back function. Oh, that's dope. You get those little bit of TVs in there? Ooh, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, man.
You got the baby changing station in the back? Oh
my goodness. That was dope. A moment when I said, yo, like, this is it. This is it, bro. Like,
shifting gears.
We've hit a different level, man. What about you? What was? Did you ever have any of those moments?
Yeah. I can't stop laughing about that, bro. The minivan,
and the look of pride that he had, man. That was the crazy thing. Like he was
that's what I was thinking about.
He was like, "I did it, yo. It's done."
Oh my God. Like you see that? You see that? Look at that. Automatic open. Oh, yeah, with the push of a button. Oh, the pride, man. You got to have that, though. Like, when you're making that change, that big change, you have to have pride in what you're doing, because otherwise you're going to be miserable.
Oh, absolutely.
With me, one of the things that I, not that I would never do, man, skydiving. I think skydiving was a big one for me. I did it when I was 18 for the first time, obviously going tandem. And at first I was scared, man. I was like, nope, you know what? I made a mistake. Yeah, and I had my hands on the door and he was like, all right, let's go back in. I said, all right. He goes, you have to let go so I can turn around. I said, okay. I let go and he just, boom, threw us out. I was so afraid and so upset, but I realized if I punched him, you know what I mean? Like, I'm dead. So, you know, 18-year-old me was flying out that door. And I realized something, man. I realized that the view from up there, when you're not in an airplane or any type of flying devices, is beyond beautiful. I saw the sky, I felt the wind, I looked at the ground, saw the earth, everything was just majestic. And I got hooked, kind of like when you're getting your first tattoo, you want more, right? Yeah, right. So I want more. And I continued doing it, had some, you know, had some amazing experiences, had some very scary experiences. An experience where my chute wasn't ejecting.
And
I had to, well, I went with a few friends. And mind you, I'm going by myself now. I've done this over 200 times. And
that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, walking across the street in California is crazy. But, you know, let's be real. Right. But yeah, man, it was nuts. And as I was falling out and I couldn't eject, thank goodness a few of my friends, you know, didn't eject either. So I, you know, connected with his suit, held onto him tight, and he ejected and we went down safely. What happened was there was a mechanism that wasn't working. It was actually unlatched, which is why my chute didn't eject.
Wow. So where was that in your list of jumps? Was that toward the end? I would hope so.
Yeah, most definitely. I think it was like jump 180 something.
So you still went on after that.
Oh man, heck yeah. Listen, I'm a wild animal, bro. I'm an untamed lion, bro. I'm the pride. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can go play. I can face death in the face, man. And I say, let's go again. Right? Like that's my attitude. You know, but if I get in an argument with the chick, man, I gotta apologize. Like, I can't face that.
That's right. That's right. You'll jump out 100 airplanes, but no, you cannot.
I'd much rather do that. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But you know, I mean, I've jumped all over the world, man. I've jumped in, you know, different parts of Africa. I've jumped in Australia. I've jumped in different parts of Asia, all over the U.S., Canada, Mexico. You know, I'm saying, like, I love it. I think my most favorable place to go jumping has to be where there's like a lot of flat land. Where there's a mountain where the sun rises, and it's during sunrise
when it's
the best, because you can see, and it's a little cheesy, but it reminds me of the Lion King, where it's like, wherever light touches, that's our kingdom, you know. Mm-hmm. So when you see the light start to take over, you know, the shade, it was just magical. Yeah. What about you? What's yours, man?
Man, nothing like that, man. I think the most daring thing I've ever done was ziplining. I was in Mexico.
Ooh.
And that was that. I had never done anything like that before. And I have to say, so the whole event, like, it was like more of an excursion. So at this place, you can either do, like, you know, well, actually, you can do all these activities. You can do like the ATVs, where you're going through like this rough terrain, just sliding through and doing your thing. And then they have a portion where you're actually swimming in these caves, and it's super dark. You can't really, really see a whole lot. And then you lead out into like this waterfall, like this super strong waterfall. That was a really cool experience. And then like the zip lines, like, and then the zip lines, you're actually zipping over highways at points. Like, it's crazy, man. And so I have to say, like, that experience for me was probably the most daring thing I've ever done. It was crazy. Relatively, you know, in terms of height, let me put it that way. Okay. You know what I'm saying? In terms of heights. But, you know, and so that for me is probably where, you know, I would say I was the daredevil. But even after that, I was like, man, thank God. I've always said, when it comes to skydiving, I'm a black man in America. I have enough ways to die, man. I'm good. Like, there's but so much that I'm willing to kind of risk. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of good. I think I might try it once.
Once?
But yeah, like, I just always wonder, what if those odds are going against me for that one particular time? So that's always what I kind of think about. And it's kept me
I mean, you're not wrong, but you have more of a risk of getting the car accident than you are of dying skydiving. So. You know,
that's true. That is true. You know, and that Go ahead. What are you going to say?
I mean, think about it. Statistics, bro. We're going to be a statistic no matter what. No matter how we pass, we're going to be a statistic. Yeah, this person died of old age. Statistic.
Yeah. That's true. But I mean, when you think about old age, you know, when you're old, you're talking about 80, 85, 90. Like, at that point, you're kind of ready to go. It's like, all right.
I mean, I'm never ready to go, but, you know.
You know, like, I can see. So there are plenty of, like, older, you know, people that I've talked to. They're just like, you know, I lived my life, man. My kids are grown. I got grandkids now. I've seen them grow up. I've had a chance to do some pretty cool things in my life. Like, I don't mind going to sleep. I'm okay. You know, and that was always interesting for me because death for me was always one of those subjects I could never really understand, man. It was just like, so you mean you die, but you don't know you're dead and, you know, you can't see it. And so for me, you know, because the way I was raised was death is death. Like, there is no life after that. You know, unless right. You are.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So for me, it was just one of those things where it's like, so I don't know that I'm gone, you know, because I always think, you know, in my mind, for some reason, even to this day, when you die, it's like you still kind of know that you're dead, you know?
But, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, your brain is still active 7 minutes after you die. Yes. So.
I actually read a study about that, and they were saying that the last thing to go is your hearing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so they said that your brain is still firing, and your hearing is still, like, cohesive. You could still hear everything going on around you. You just can't see anything. You can't react. And I always wondered, like, man, that's torture right there, man.
I mean, unless you're blown up, then, you know... I'm not even kidding. Like, think about that. If your whole body disintegrates from something, then you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, you don't get those thoughts anymore. Yeah. You know, that's say that's facts. Yeah. But you know, I think about death, right? Like, I used to be deathly afraid of death. Yes, yeah. That's a oxymoron, right? Deathly afraid of death. And I don't know. I just always thought, you know, it was game over. And, you know, what about all the things that I love to do? What about all the people I love to see? What's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to, you know, the next episode of this show I'm watching? You know, I think about all these things in total. And, you know, one thing that I never really touched on was happiness when I was younger. And when I say younger, I mean, like, you know, 10 years ago. But it was my mom, you know, my mom talked about things such as, like, happiness and things that you should not miss out on. And, you know, before she passed, you know, she was saying things. I mean, this is like hours. She was saying things about death that I never wanted to hear her say, such as, I haven't done the things I wanted to do. I haven't loved the way I wanted to love. I haven't spent enough time with my kids. I haven't spent enough time with my grandkids. You even didn't have a kid for me to see. You didn't have a kid. You need to have a kid for me to see first. Like, she was saying all these things. I didn't experience you getting married. I didn't experience you doing this. And I hear these things, and, you know, she ended up passing hours later. And when I hear these things, it levels me on a day-to-day basis, where I think about my happiness and the things that I need to do, and, you know, what I am no longer okay with, you know, experiencing and being a part of. And, you know, I see, you know, arguments and drama and all this stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, I'm not going to be in that. You know what I mean? Like, I want to experience more. I want to love more. I want to see more. And me coming back to San Diego was a big part of that as well. Like, you know what, I want to spend more time with my family. I want to, you know, hang out with my nephew and spend more time with my brother and see them grow up and spend time with my aunts and uncles and see my cousins more, because, you know what, like, they go. When they go, they're gone. And I've experienced my dad's death from when I was in New York, and I think to myself, man, I wasn't there to even, you know, be a part of his service because of COVID
right.
Restrictions. And, you know, I think about all these things and I'm like, you know, this is me taking more time to make better relationships, strengthen my bond with my family, and to escape all the negativity that comes with, you know, the BS of the world, right?
Yeah.
So
you brought up a great point, man. Like, you know, I lost my father during COVID as well, not from COVID, but during that time. And it was just one of those things for me that automatically set a clock off in my head, you know, because it, you know, I looked at my father like Superman. You know, I was like, nothing can happen with my father. You know, he was always strong as a bull, never went to the doctor, was really just big on going to work, taking care of his family, and that was it. Super nice guy. You know, I love my father, man. He was like one of my best friends, man. And, you know, when he passed, it just literally just set this timer off in my head. And I said, okay, you know what? I got 45 more years. I got 40 more years. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. You know, and so this quote, I never forget, I was listening to a podcast, and the guy giving the speech at the time said, he asked a question. He said, would you rather the pain of discipline or the pain of regret?
Wow.
And when he said that, that immediately just made me think about the fact that, you know, when you are on your deathbed, when you are at a space when your youth is gone and you no longer have the vitality to do what you want to do, you can only sit and reflect on the things you did do, right? You can only sit and say, okay, what did I accomplish? Like, you know, did I spend enough time with my family? Did I spend enough time working on my dreams and my goals? Did I do those things that I wanted to do? And many times the answer is no, because you wind up spending so much time just working, right? Doing the grind. You know, I was talking to a friend yesterday and we're like, man, like 2005 was literally 20 years ago.
Like, that's crazy, man.
You know, there's kids that literally are now saying, if you were born before 2005, you're old.
Oh my God, bro. Don't stop.
2005, bro. And time just flies so fast and we wind up spending so much of our lives just going to work, coming home, living life, paying bills. And not enough time, like you said, enjoying family, enjoying, you know, just the things, the simple pleasures of life, being able to go on trips and watch sunsets and play in the snow with your kids and just do all those things. Just spend time with your grandparents while they're alive. And so, you know, that's just something that we really just have to continue to keep aware of and cherish, because
absolutely,
you know, like we, once we disappear, we're gone, like you said.
Oh. Absolutely. All you have is, you know, tombstone, or if you want to get, you know, cremated, you have that option. But like, you don't have a second chance. That we know, by the way, that we know.
Right.
We don't have that second chance, and no one knows where we're really going, right? And I want to be here. I want to be loved. I want to spend time with those that I love. I'm going to leave behind something that I can, you know, be proud of, and, you know. When my mom passed, I lost it. I broke. But at the same time, I became stronger because of that. You know what I mean? And it's sad that sometimes we have to go through, you know, those type of periods to see more and to, you know, be more exposed to, you know, the feelings that were buried deep inside you and the opportunities that awaited you. And you are just now on a different path, and sometimes it's the corrective path, you know?
Yeah. You know, you bring up a great point, because I think one of the things it just has forced me to do is enjoy my time. So, like, I'm a big concert goer now. That, you know, I'm hitting up all of the concerts that I never got a chance to see. I remember I got a chance to see Prince before he passed away, man. Incredible, man. I got a chance to... you know, go see, you know, I've been to Dave Chappelle shows, things like that. I got a chance to go to, you know, Anderson .Paak. And then recently I went to a jazz show just last week, in fact, to see my guy, Adrian Young.
That's awesome.
Know him. He's actually from your side of town. I believe he's from San Diego. And
oh, yeah?
This guy, yeah, man. I mean, hip-hop head. He's actually produced some dope stuff. He and Ali Shaheed Muhammad, who is from Tribe Called Quest, they actually produced the score for the Luke Cage series that was out some years ago.
Dude, I love that series.
Oh man, it was such a soulful like show. You know what I mean? And that music made that case. And they did this show called Sugar. They did the show for that. And he's also released like a 3-album series. I believe the third one is released or might be released. I'm not sure just yet, but it's called Something About April. Man, when I tell you, this guy is such a jazzy, soulful guy. And his band, bro, that band that they had there was just phenomenal, man. I mean, it was just some of the best live playing I had ever heard in my life. And so, and mind you, this venue was small. It was maybe 250, 300 people. It was very intimate.
How was the crowd? Like,
what was
the crowd like? You know,
it was actually, I was in the minority, you know, like, but what's crazy is it was just cool to see so many jazz and soul heads in there. Like, you know, that's one thing about music, man. It just brings everybody together, man. It doesn't matter, you know, who you are, what you are, you know, as long as you vibe out to the jazz and the vibes and the music, you're good. And so everybody was there and they had on, you know, they had their cameras and stuff. And I had brought my smart glasses, right? So I was like, you know what, let me try to be a little technological today. Let me be a little futuristic, right? So
okay.
You know, I had my you know, my Ray-Bans on. I'm just like, yo, all right, let me start recording some of this stuff. Took a couple pictures with it. And it just made me think of this question, like, are smart glasses still weird? Because I'm there and people are sitting there with their phones and they're recording. And I also had mine too, but I'm using my glasses. And so I'm just like, you know, are people looking at me? Because, you know, on the glasses, when you start recording, it blinks. Like there's a light on it that kind of shines a little bit so people know they're being recorded, right? So I'm like, how do I look right now with this on my face? it just makes you start asking yourself, like, are these things still weird? I remember when Google Glass was out, remember back in like 2012, 2013,
I remember that. Yep.
People were calling them glass holes.
Oh my god, man.
Like whoever had them would call the glass hole essentially because they just look weird.
Goofy.
Yeah. Like, yeah. They just look weird as hell. Like stuff from Star Trek. And you know. It was just like, yeah, it's a little too much, but I had them on. It just made me think of that question, like, are smart glasses still weird? Because the way they're talking about tech right now is the cell phone era is ending. In fact, a lot of people in the tech space are saying that by the year 2030, cell phones will be completely different from what they are today. Like, they will not be the standard that we're used to.
We're going to have like a projection come out of our palms. You know what I mean?
yeah. So actually, I don't know if you knew this, but there was this device. It was like an AI pen. And this came out maybe like last year. It was a pen that just came out. And it was a pen you put on your chest, like on your clothes. Okay. And you could actually stick it there. And it had full field of vision. So basically whatever you could see, it could see. But the only problem with that is the batteries didn't last super long. And, you know, it just was hard. It was practical to get used to because, again, people are used to pulling out their phones, having a big screen and, you know, something to look at. So you could ask it questions. But the problem is that it took a long time to respond, you know, so.
That's interesting, right?
Yeah.
When you talk about the VR glasses and what that looks like. Now, I saw this really goofy thing from Instagram. It was this dude who's coming out of his car. He has that the new Apple VR headset. And thing looks so crazy. But he's like walking and swiping and doing all the things. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this guy, he could trip him on himself. Yeah. He can not see where he's going, but apparently he can see all that. But how does that come, you know, with an impairment vision, right? Like if you're driving or if you're walking and you know, you're walking in the crosswalk, a car is coming, like your field of vision isn't going to be as great, right?
That's true. Yeah. And that's why I love being in the product management space. And shout out to our guy, Michael Mancuso, man. We got to get him up on this pod one day.
Yes, sir.
He's the GOAT guy. He's one of those guys that, you know, if you got a problem, he will figure it out and do it. You know, he'll build a solution. He'll implement it. He'll get it done.
One of the smartest guys I know. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Great guy. And in product management, you're basically learning that, you know, products, they evolve over time because, you know, you might issue something to somebody in a small chunk, a small bite, and you see how they work with it, how they use it. Because a lot of times the products that we release with one thought in mind and how we think people will use them, they use them completely differently. Like Instagram, that's a prime example of that. But the Instagram app, you know, they just released it as an app where people take photos of scenery. That was really what it was meant to be for. Literally just take nice photos of things and you post it. And people wound up posting selfies and they wound up, you know. And then Vine came along, you know, with the short version of video. Do it for the Vine. That's
right. I ain't gonna do it.
You know, and that's the key with product management is you have to know how to adapt quickly. You see what's going on in the marketplace, and you immediately try to figure out ways to give the customer what they want. And, you know, so things like that, like how the cell phone changes over time and how we start to use things that are wearables over time, that's going to be a very interesting process to kind of follow because it's going to be iterative. We're going to see some stuff that's like, dude, what are you doing? Why do you have it on your face?
And right. So
going to be, you know,
I mean, I definitely see that. And I also see it working, you know, in the lifestyle game as well. Think about someone walking to the city and they're wearing their glasses. And it's showing like all these different, you know, stores. It could be a mom and pops. It could be a pizza joint. It could be a clothing joint. And you automatically get the reviews from it from Yelp.
Yes.
You get, you know, the dollar sign if it's a nice restaurant. And how many dollar signs is it? And what type of menu do they have? You can do all that without actually going inside, without going on your phone, to Googling it, to looking it up. Because how many times do you go on your phone, you try to look something up, and it's not on Google Maps? And... it's a new location. You know what I'm saying? Like, so much that goes into it. And then if you look at it with, like, gaming as well. You know, Pokemon Go was a big thing. Remember that back in New York where it's like, it was new, it was popping, and everyone was on the streets of Pokemon Go, right? Now think about that when you're, you know, having on those glasses. That AR experience of Pokemon Go could be a lot different, you know? And also with concerts. Like, think about, you're talking about concerts earlier. Like, imagine being in your home, having spent, you know, let's say $200 for a front row concert ticket, right?
Yes.
Not being able to go, but now I can sit on my couch and enjoy it from the front row as if I was there. And I still get all
the perks. Yep. What you were talking about is literally the plan. Like, a lot of these companies, like Apple, I believe that's what they're working on now. I'm not sure if you ever saw, but Apple actually has this feature where you can watch concerts. Like, you are basically the only one there in the room as the singer is performing. So you can put on the headset and, you know, it'll be a famous singer. It could be, a, you know, Billie Eilish or anybody like that. But essentially they are, you know, singing like directly looking at you or directly in your purview. It's almost like you could stick your hand out and touch them, you know. And I think that that's where the wave of the future is going. It is going to where we have these personalized events that we can go to. I think the hard part is trying to figure out how stadiums will continue to make their money because they make their money off of concessions. So if we're not going to the stadium, they're not making money off of snacks and beer and stuff like that. But it would be very interesting to see how they incorporate that, you know, with devices that you can use at home.
I mean, if you look at it, there's all these games out there, right? Where you get like Juice, well, I think Juice WRLD did it in the past, but you got like all these different artists going on there. You had Drake going on there as well. You know, making music and having like this type of virtual party within the game. Yes. And I think that's also a big thing too, when you look at it, right? It's like you can go inside Fortnite. Fortnite was a big one. They had, you know, different rappers and different producers and what have you go inside there. They have them, you know, playing their music. Marshmello was a big one. Marshmello did it.
Yes.
He went inside there and had everyone log in virtually to experience this free, you know, concert of him just playing music. And what that did is that just created a influx of, you know, new users and old users to come back to the game, you know, and next thing you know, their sales are going up and you get a bigger population playing the game, whatnot. It's just amazing what they can do, right? So now... going back to what we were saying, if someone staying in their living room, there's no concessions, there's no snacks, there's no beer, but you know what? We're going to up the price of these tickets and give you, you know, this feeling of being in a concert, but but in your own home. Stay on your couch, relax in the backyard. You know, do a workout on your Peloton. You're still going to the concert.
Yeah, I agree. You're absolutely right. I think that that's the only thing I would miss is, like you mentioned, going to these places where the atmosphere is really the draw. Like, you know, just being there is the draw. Like going to a dope concert, as you mentioned, going to a dope just art event or anything like that where the smells are different, the air is different. That's the only thing, you know, where there's a difference, you know, and
meeting people.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, meeting new people and just watching people vibe out to the music that you like. I remember I went to the Anderson .Paak show, and at the time I thought I was, you know, I knew that that people liked him, but I loved his stuff, man. I mean, and so I was there and I'm just like, man, this many people rock out to him like I do. It was dope. Like, you know, this many people listen to his music. And it was just cool seeing people there that I would have never thought would be on that type of time, you know. And they loved it. We all sitting there vibing out to this music, man. It was really dope. So, yeah, I think that
that's kind of crazy that you say that too. Because I walk into my buddy's place, and his daughter is on the couch, and she's like, just chilling, eating some snacks. And I'm like, what is she doing? Oh yeah, she's watching Netflix. What? Yeah, I mean, it's the craziest thing. So yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
What I like what they're doing now with the games is they actually have it where the game is literally played on your living room table. So yeah, it looks crazy. I'll send you the video, but essentially it's like you have the headset on and the game, the way they place it, it's like it's literally sitting on your living room table. And so each player as they're playing, they have the tag over their name.
Mm-hmm.
How many points they have. It's almost like playing like 2K.
That's dope. I love
it's crazy, man. It's you know, technology is really getting to a place now where we finally thought it would be. We still don't have flying cars yet, like they promised in Back to the Future. But
I mean, maybe they do, and they're just not even sharing it with us yet.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a while for us to get there. I'm still waiting for my hoverboard, man. I still got to get that. That's next on the list.
Oh man. Don't get me started.
Just the liability implications of that, though. There'll be a lot of hurt people with those things.
Well, that's why you let them try it out first. You wait until the bugs get fixed, and then you buy one.
Right. Yeah.
Don't be the first. Don't be the first to get hurt. Be the last.
And what's wild is you think about that movie was about 2015, right? It was about what the future would look like in 2015. And here we are in 2025, 10 years later. And some of those things have actually happened. A lot of those things still haven't yet. So it's really interesting to kind of see how that goes, man. But bro, we made it, man. You know, this is our second episode. We made it. And this one, I feel like this one was it, man. I really appreciated the way we kind of got into the Biggie talk again. That was something that we said as soon as that date passed, right after our last part, we were like, bro, this is March 9th coming up, or we got to do something about Big.
It is a must, my brother.
You know?
Yes.
So, you know what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I didn't know yesterday, man.
All right. I'm going to hit you with mine right now, right?
Let's go.
What I didn't know yesterday was that the earliest known trading cards, and mind you, I love my sports cards. I love trading cards. The earliest known trading cards were printed in Europe in the 1670s, and they were used to advertise a business or product. That's the earliest sign of trading cards. Yeah. So they were printed on black and white paper, right? They had some artistic elements about it.
Mm-hmm.
They had a blank space for the issuer to add specific information and were considered the precursors to modern business cards.
Wow.
How crazy is that? Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And that's something I didn't know yesterday, bro. I was like, when did trading cards actually start? And it was the biggest thing. So yeah. In the 1670s in Europe. It's wild.
That is crazy, man. So check this out. If you ever wanted to know which condiment you can leave in your cabinets for decades, what do you think it would be?
Spam.
That's actually not a bad guess, man. You know, spam will last you for generations.
Spam, Twinkies, ramen,
ding dong was right. Man, that's crazy. So check this
out. Beans.
Yeah, big bean, right? Or, you know, beans in the can. Yeah. So there, like, archaeologists basically have found jars of honey in ancient Egyptian tombs, right? And guess what? It is still edible.
Do they taste it? You got to ask the question, bro.
Right.
How would they know? They taste it.
Like, hold up, because I'm not tasting. I'm not going to be the one to test it out. Like, you know, somebody else has to do that. But yeah, they said that honey is edible literally past hundreds and hundreds of years. So I'm just, like, that amazed me when I saw that. I said, that's crazy. So.
Yep. That's wild. Yeah. I would eat it. I mean, not going to lie. I love honey, bro.
Yeah, I use honey on everything for the most part, man. It's great stuff, man. Like, and I like to drink tea these days, so I typically use a lot of honey, man. A lot.
Avocado toast, a little honey drizzle.
Yeah. Oh, man. Not a bad idea, man. You know,
little bacon bits on there with some pepper flakes.
Ooh.
Oh, man. Good. Maybe with a egg over medium on top. Mm.
Oh, man. You know what that reminds me? I remember that place that we used to go to in Midtown after work. What was the name of that place called? Victoria's or?
Wasn't it right across the street?
It was like, yeah, across 6th Avenue.
Yep. Yep. Man.
Yeah, that was a really good spot. They used to do stuff like that there, too.
That spot was dope, man. I love that spot.
I haven't had in a while, too? A good Sazerac.
Oh, you know what? I haven't had a good Sazerac in maybe a month.
All right, so
it's been a while for me.
You coming up here when? In May?
In May, yep.
All right. When you get here, man, we'll get a couple of the guys together, man, and we'll head over to some of our old spots and grab some drinks, man.
Just like old times. Just like old times. Yes, sir. Well,
thanks again, man. You know, this is Episode 2 again, man. We did it. So, you know, thank you all for joining again, and we hope you all found this to be listenable. You got something out of it. You got a good laugh. You know, it made you think about something, like, positive. So, again, thank you guys very much. And, yeah, we'll be talking to you guys really soon.
All right. See ya.
Later.